Hello, everyone. It's me, Britta, bitch. Let me say it again. If you don't remember, let me grab a pen. And welcome to my brand new podcast. I'm so excited. It is called You, Britta, Vote. Now, listen, on this podcast, I kiki with activists, organizers, and elected officials about all things political. From voting to climate change to LGBTQIA plus equality, my guests and I, baby, we are going to spill the tea on what is happening in the current political landscape and how you can make a difference and make your voices heard on these issues. Now, listen, honey, I didn't always used to be this political. No, ma'am. Baby. I was the kid in high school who attended every single theater and choir class. I loved it so much, but just so happened that by fourth period, my ass had an asthma attack and I couldn't attend history class. No, I was just a lying ass bitch and I wanted to get out of history class. I campaigned for student body in high school by writing the word sex in real big bloody letters on a 7-foot construction paper. And then in small, tiny parentheses at the very bottom, it said, vote for Jesse for student body. Baby, I thought I was funny. I thought it was hilarious. Yes, Jesse is my government name. Honestly, I just wanted to throw cool parties and create sickening posters on campus. And I couldn't give a crap about the inner workings of the student body, or let alone the workings of the U.S. government. So that kind of brings me to where the first time I voted was for Obama's first term, which, to put things into perspective, was also the same year of RuPaul's Drag Race season 1. Girl, that was 13 years ago. Yes, life was good. It was my introduction to the world of drag, and things were great. And it just got even better as a young, fruitful gay in an Obama era. Listen, we Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed. Marriage equality was passed. I thought it was like nothing could harm my little gay young mind. I was like, everything is perfect until 2016 happened. And in that election, it really put a political fire under my ass. You truly don't know what you have until it starts to get taken away from you. I started getting people registered to vote at my shows in 2016 for state and local elections. I started protesting and attending marches. I went on to speak at the 2020 Women's March on Washington, D.C., making headlines when a video of me facing anti-LGBTQ plus counter-protesters went viral. Lastly, I became the national co-chair of Drag Out the Vote. And I truly, honestly, I made it my mission in 2020. It was my goal and platform to educate people about policies and voting with the art and activism of drag. You know, I stand on the shoulders of important LGBTQ plus activists, such as, may they rest in peace, Sylvia Rivera and Marsha P. Johnson. And I started this podcast because it's a way to educate our community on these important issues affecting us, especially our youth. There are so many young people that listen to RuPaul's Drag Race, and hopefully this podcast will inspire the listeners, y'all out there, to take action. It is so important. Now, listen, in our first season of episodes, we'll be talking about staying engaged during non-presidential election years, which is this year right here. We talk about the state of the LGBTQIA plus equality, climate change, systematic racism. We'll be talking to other drug activists, elected officials, and organizers. And listen, just as a note, Drag Out the Vote, which I'm co-chair of, is a nonpartisan nonprofit. So my work there is strictly nonpartisan. But honey, let me tell you, in this podcast, I'm speaking from my own personal opinions. So get ready, because this is about to be some unfiltered tea. I am so excited and I'm so grateful that you're listening. Welcome to You, Britta, Vote.
You
Okay, this is a call to the elected officials. Mama, I'm going to show you how you call these elected officials to get things done. Now, one of the things that is so important in making your voice heard is to contact your elected officials and let them know what you want them to do. Listen, bitch, after all, they work for you, honey. First thing to do is to make sure that you know who your elected officials are. At the national and state level, just a couple of phone calls over a short period of time can bring an issue to the attention of your elected official and raise their awareness of how strongly their constituents feel about a current issue. The sooner you reach out, the more likely it is that your voice will influence their position. Go to commoncause.org/find-your-representative. I'm going to put it in the list, in the bio, so you can click on that shit and type in your address. You'll see that all of your elected officials from President Biden down to your mayor and city council member are there. You'll see their office phone numbers, email address, website, and social media. You can definitely email them, but even more effective is calling them. I know that sounds scary, but it's really, really easy to do. You may not get them on the phone, but you can leave a message with their staff on their voicemail, period. Make sure you tell them your name, where you live, and what exactly you want them to do. Add a personal message, if you can, on why this issue is important to you. Here's a quick example of me calling my senator, Senator Gillibrand from New York, and telling her staff that I want her to vote for the Equality Act. Hello, my name is Jesse Havea, and I'm a constituent from New York City. As a voter and constituent, I urge Senator Gillibrand to support the Equality Act and the crucial protections it would provide members of the LGBTQ plus community nationwide. Our country cannot continue to tolerate discrimination in employment, housing, public places, education, or anywhere on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. Now, more than ever, we need to pass the Equality Act and its consistent and explicit non-discrimination protections. Please consider supporting the Equality Act today for the LGBTQ community and for the betterment of our country. Thank you.
Everyone, hello. My guest today is Pennsylvania State Representative and Democratic candidate for Lieutenant Governor Brian Sims. So Brian was first elected in 2012 and has the distinction of being the first openly gay man elected to the Pennsylvania General Assembly. He has been a tireless advocate for the LGBTQIA plus community, despite facing immense partisan opposition from the General Assembly. Before his election, he served as the president of Equality Pennsylvania. He had been named 40 under 40 by the Gay and Lesbian Lawyers of Philadelphia. And he is at heart an advocate fighting for equality and the equity of all communities. Please welcome Brian Sims. Yes. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian. That's one hell of an introduction.
Yes. Listen, I decided that I'm going to travel with you wherever you go, and I'm going to be your hype girl, just opening for everything you do.
I'm going to send you into bathrooms before I go in. I'm going to send you everywhere I go. Restaurants, home.
Absolutely. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm just coming off nearly a month living in our capital, working on our budget, which we passed. And so now I've got a little bit of time to get back to Philadelphia, to enjoy the summer, that kind of thing.
Oh, I love it. You're literally on the side of the road and you took time out of your insane schedule, parked on the side of the road, and we're having this interview right now. And I appreciate it so much for you just for doing that for us.
Well, you know, listen, I don't mind saying it. I not only am I a fan, I have spent my lifetime studying the things that get us closer to equality. And pop culture and music and entertainment have gotten us closer to equality than, you know, any particular member of Congress has ever done. And so I'm both glad to be on as a fan, but I'm really grateful for the work that you do.
Oh, thank you so much. Now, listen, Brian, so I want to start with the big news. You're running for lieutenant governor. First off, congratulations and your announcement on your candidacy. And I wanted to know what, you know, I know a lot of people on here don't know what lieutenant governor is. I didn't know until this year, until you were running for it. I was like, what is lieutenant governor? It's essentially, it's like the vice president of a state, correct?
In many ways, and it varies for all 50 states, but in Pennsylvania, the lieutenant governor has a lot of oversight over the Senate, as well as plays a role with respect to the parole board, a very important role as chair of the parole board, and as the chair of the Emergency Management Commission here in Pennsylvania. And so some pretty important roles, but that role with respect to the Senate and sort of serving as a mouthpiece for progressive politics in my state, that's really what got me interested in doing this.
That's incredible. You know, I think voters need to know more about their elected officials and why they want to serve. And that really starts with you and your story. I mean, you've been a state representative since 2013. And what did you do before that? And how did it inform what you want to do today?
Sure. Yeah. I'm a civil rights attorney by trade. I graduated from law school and moved back to Pennsylvania. My parents are both retired lieutenant colonels in the Army. And so I'm from just a little bit of everywhere. And I moved back to Pennsylvania, where I'd gone to high school and college after law school, and worked in Philadelphia in civil rights and in disability law. And the whole time knew that I was working in a state that lacked, you know, very basic levels of equality. And so in what started as in my spare time, I volunteered with a lot of organizations that were battling for women's rights and reproductive rights and LGBTQ equality. And over time, sort of worked my way up into some leadership roles with respect to them. And, you know, it still wasn't enough. And Pennsylvania was one of those states. And in fact, it was the second largest state in the country that had never elected anybody openly LGBTQ+. And that was one of the really important components to gaining equality. And so I had a bunch of friends talk to me about doing it. I didn't think that they were right, but it turned out that they were. And as you pointed out, you know, in 2012, I ran and won my seat in the House of Representatives.
That's incredible. You know, I know before we signed on to record for this podcast, you were even telling me that you heard from a friend because I was in a meeting with them that I kind of, you know, there was a spark that got set in me about possibly running in the future for a position. You truly are, to me, I look up to you so much. Truly, this podcast, You Brit a Vote, the reason why I'm doing it is because I truly, you and everyone else I have interviewed are like the superheroes to me. You are the celebrities to me. People get so gagged when they're like, oh my God, Britta from Drag Race. But baby, let me tell you, Brian Sims, I am gagged just talking to you right now. It is everything. And you are truly the superheroes of our community and truly just fighting for equality for all of us. So I'm so gagged and so thankful. And you, people like you have definitely set a little spark in Miss Britta to possibly run one day. Who knows? I don't know. I still have a lot of learning to do, but I'm getting fired up because of people like you. So thank you.
Well, yeah, thank you very much for saying it. But I have to tell you, in my time doing this and in my time leading up to this, I teach a lot of people about privilege. I teach a lot of people about the results of marginalization. And the truth of the matter is that LGBTQ people, people of color, first and second generation immigrants, certainly women, and dealing with a society that is not geared directly towards us, learn skills and capabilities that are very, very applicable to business, to government, to community building, to our families. And so, you know, the simple truth of the matter is I think we're good at this. It's part of the reason I want so many people that are unlike the people that I work with already doing this work, not just to broaden the base of experiences in our representative democracy. I want that, and we should have that. But I also want good experience in government. And good experience tends to come from a lot of the marginalization that you and I know in the communities around us. We all talk about it in coded ways. We call it Black girl magic or trans excellence, or we talk about wise Latinas, but that's all coded ways of recognizing the real power that comes from people who have lived a non-majority, a non-privileged life. And that's what's missing in our government right now. And I want it there.
Absolutely. You know, and there seems to be a giant lack of interest in voting with people. And I, you know, across the US, only 15 to 27% of eligible voters cast a ballot in their local election. That's what mainly this episode is about, is a local election politics and getting involved during non-presidential election years. Nellie Gorby, the Secretary of State for Rhode Island, who Drag Out the Vote has worked with, said that no voter likes to feel stupid. And I certainly do not like to feel stupid. We just had a primary here in New York, and I had to do tons of research because I didn't want to feel stupid. I want you to educate us. How do we fight people's lack of interest when it comes to voting?
There's a couple of competing interests that are going on here. And I think it's really important to recognize who wants you to vote and who doesn't want you to vote. First of all, no matter where your politics lie on the spectrum, it is a political fact that Republicans in this country are doing everything they can right now to suppress voting. And the reason they're doing that is that it is also a statistical fact that when more people vote, Democrats fare better. The more voters that turn out in almost any election, the higher the numbers, the better that is going to be for Democrats. And so if you make it harder to vote, if you make it take longer to vote, if you minimize the times that you can vote or the ways that you can vote, all of that has a sort of a grand impact of just making less people vote, which inherently is more supportive of a Republican ideology. And so it's really critical for people to recognize that. It oftentimes sounds so hyper-partisan, but that is factually true in America today, that when more people vote, Democrats fare better. When less people vote, Republicans fare better. And therefore, Republicans at all levels, from the federal level to statewide level, are doing everything they can to suppress the vote. Sometimes that looks like making lines longer. Sometimes that looks like removing places where you can drop off your ballot. Sometimes it looks like making the time that you can vote, you know, smaller during a day. And all of that has just the intended impact of either getting you to vote or not, or getting you to not vote at all. And so I tell people all the time, if you are somebody that sees a lot of political ads, and that's a lot of us, know that millions of dollars and is spent behind those political ads, and not a dollar of that is wasted. If you're seeing an ad, it's because they think you are valuable. They think you are important. You can either do a thing that they want you to do, or you can perhaps do a thing that they don't want you to do. And so, you know that the competing interests out there of who wants you to vote and who doesn't have a real serious impact on your rights, on your responsibilities in this government. You know, you just simply cannot detach voting from right now, the sort of American experience, whether you are, whether it's you believe that Black Lives Matter, whether you believe in trans excellence, whether you believe that we're a country that needs to be embracing immigrants and immigration, know that whether you vote or not is the linchpin to all of those rights and all of those experiences in America.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm always telling people that it always starts at the local level. It starts at the local level, and it just trickles its way all the way up, honey. And so it's just so important, especially during these non-presidential elections, to vote, because it will definitely, you know, have an impact on the presidential election in the coming years. Now, you've been a tireless advocate against the ridiculousness that we've seen come out of this, out of your state, surrounding these wild conspiracies surrounding the 2020 election. People are ridiculous, and it clearly does not represent the vast majority of Pennsylvanians. Unfortunately, we have to fight back against all this misinformation. What can public policymakers do besides, of course, speak out against conspiracy theories to help restore the public's trust?
Well, the first thing is the last thing that you just mentioned. That is, continue to speak out against these conspiracy theories. One of the things we have to make sure that we don't ever do is legitimize the positions that a lot of my colleagues are taking and a lot of Republicans are taking across the country. Whether they are people that fully support the big lie that there was this was a stolen election, or people that have supported the sort of underlying structure that the components of the election weren't to be trusted and therefore the election result itself can't be trusted. Know that what this is was a full-blown propaganda campaign to say, all right, ahead of time, we don't believe that the results of this election are something that we're going to want. Therefore, we're going to say ahead of time that the election is rigged or crooked. Afterward, we're going to say everyone had concerns about how rigged or crooked, so we're going to pass laws that really do now rig elections. And so the thing that I think most public policymakers should be doing right now is pushing back aggressively against voter suppression. Yes, we need to make sure that all the people who supported the big lie are held accountable, but the underlying effort right now that they are all making to suppress the vote, whether at that local level, at the statewide level, or even at the federal level, even though we have some control right now in Congress, I mean, it's just really, really important. The work, the substance of making sure that people can vote in the ways that they are most capable of, is the work that we need to be doing.
Absolutely. And you know, when you, as you're saying, it's speaking out against all these crazy conspiracy theories. Now, Brian, what I love about you is that you are known for being, I would say, unfiltered, just like Miss Britta. And it's always a pleasure to just watch you. Honey, you be taking down bigots down a peg or 10. And it's like watching an episode of Untouched for me, like political. You give me everything I need when you come for these people. And I love the bluntness that you have. It's exactly what we need in politics. It's exactly what we want when standing up for things like LGBTQ+ rights. You know, how it gets me so excited. So how do we get voters and people on the street to be enthusiastic again about the political process? I mean, you get me excited because you just lay it down for them. And I live for it every single time.
You just called it political untucked, and I'm loving that. I think the quick answer is it's the authenticity of it all, right? I'm a gay man in this world. Yes, I'm white and I am cis, but I'm also a gay man in this country. And I had to fight really hard to be who I am. And I had to really learn who I am. And there's an authenticity in that that scares the shit out of duplicitous people. And if you're a politician that's out there that's doing nefarious acts, if you're a bad actor, if you're a duplicitous elected official, the degree of authenticity that I try to bring to my life and bring to my job scares the hell out of you. But that's also who LGBTQ people are. We have had to fight to be who we are, to fight to be comfortable in our skin, despite what an environment that often tells us not to be. And so that the power and the strength in that is, I think, the thing that I hope excites a lot of new voters. You know, Britta, more women, more people of color, more LGBTQ people, and more second generation immigrants ran for office in the last two cycles than in like the last 10 years combined. We are already beginning to make the change. We are the antidote to broken representative democracy. We don't have to topple the government. We really, frankly, what we're doing is fulfilling its true calling of being an authentically representative democracy. And as we do that, as we get closer and closer and closer to our halls of government looking like the places where we spend our spare time and our community time, government is going to get better and better and better. We're already making the changes to make sure that 2055 doesn't look like 1955.
Thank God, honey. God bless 1955.
Yeah, wherever she is making those changes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, as I've been mentioning, this episode is specifically about non-presidential years and voting. Your candidacy is a good example because you're running for 2022, which is a non-presidential election year. So talk to me, tell me why people need to be involved in 2022. I mean, why do they need to be involved in 2021?
Sure. You know, listen, I will tell you as somebody who lives in one of the most gerrymandered states left in the United States, meaning that there are nearly a million more Democrats than Republicans, but because of algorithms that were used in computer programs over the last 30 years, Republicans control our General Assembly. And in this last cycle, they passed a bill that would require all women who had ectopic pregnancies, all women who had miscarriages, and all women who had abortions to cremate or bury the fetal remains of that event to the tune of a lot of expense and to file a registry. I mean, we saw bills last year to ban trans kids from getting health care. We saw bills last year to prohibit trans girls from participating in sports. So much of that would be law were it not for the fact that we currently have a Democratic governor. And next cycle, we're going to have an opportunity to elect a Democratic governor again, hopefully, and a Democratic lieutenant governor along with him or her. And that has a dramatic, every single day, impact on the rights of all 13 million people in my Commonwealth. On a larger cycle across the country, Senate races. You know, Pat Toomey is a Pennsylvania Republican senator who's wreaked havoc on the Senate, wreaked havoc on my state, and we have an opportunity to replace him. There is with a slew of progressives, including a gay black man who's running against him. But, you know, politics right now, as drag queens are so good at pointing out to the world that all things are political. Drag is political because art is political, because music is political, because being black and brown is political, because being an immigrant is political, because being from a city is political, because being queer is political. All things are political, and all things are decided by the elected officials that we get the government we elect. And next cycle, we get a chance to elect some very serious people who could do very big things, who look more like us than we've ever seen before in government.
I absolutely love that so much. It's about time, damn it. And you've worked so hard to stand up against bullies. I mean, whether it's in the state house or on the street, in this day and age of partisan strife and welfare, where everything is twisted around on social media, it might seem like more legislators are interested in generating clickbait and getting on TV than actually governing. You know, something that I want to ask is, what are you doing as a candidate and as a legislator to show people that government can still work for them?
Yeah, absolutely. Is trying to be as responsive as I can in the moment to the things that I believe are deeply needed that government can actually do. You know, there's a thing that a lot of us see in government lately, and that's sort of performative politics, performative responsiveness to the things around them. And I'm 10 years into doing this, and I have legislation to prohibit police officers from wearing a military regalia when they're on duty, stuff to prohibit police officers from covering up their IDs. But I also, you know, I wrote a good portion of the Equal Pay Act in Pennsylvania and introduced the Marriage Equality Act in Pennsylvania. Raising the minimum wage, fighting for equal pay, those are the kinds of things that I really want to see from my elected officials, and the things that I've learned in the 10 years of doing this job that I need to be doing every single day. I need to be making sure that people have a job. I need to be making sure that people can be educated, that they can have a roof over their head, and that they are healthy in doing that. And everything that I do in my day, if it's not advancing those things and equality, then I'm making a mistake. But I've also got a lot of experience making sure I don't make those mistakes.
Yeah, of course. Brian, I'm just Representative Brian Sims. Sorry.
You can call me Brian. Oh, please call me Brian. I'm 42. You can call me Brian. My mom's a colonel in the army who can beat me up, Britta. You can call me Brian.
That's amazing. Speaking about your candidacy, where can people follow your campaign? More importantly, honey, where can they send that money, honey? Because it costs so much money to run for these things. And also, we just need to make sure that our LGBTQIA+ brothers, sisters, siblings are truly at, you know, I'm definitely going to give to your campaign. I've been meaning to because you've been giving out t-shirts. And I want a damn t-shirt.
I will get you a t-shirt.
Yes.
Britta, thank you for asking. Yeah, you know, these things are not inexpensive to do. And I'm competing against systems and machines that have been in place longer than my grandparents were alive. Nobody's ever done anything like this. And so it's part of the reason I've had to ask for support from across the country. And I'm very proud to have gotten it. People can go to sims4pa.com is my website. I'm at Brian Sims PA and on most social media. I'm pretty easy to find. But it, you know, I tell people all the time, support for this doesn't mean huge dollars. My average supporter gives less than $50. That's something that's very meaningful for me. No matter where you are in the country, you have to be a U.S. citizen. And it's deeply meaningful for me. I've got about 10 months left to go on this campaign. And if I'm going to win, it's going to be with support from people all across the country.
Well, listen, when you win, I'm going to get up on a bus. I'm going to come visit you. I'm going to be in high whore drag. We're going to have a nice little party. It's going to be cute. We're going to celebrate. I'm going to bust out my political mixes. It's going to be great.
I am completely on board. In fact, let's try to do this before I win. I'm going to need some help before I win. And there's, like I said earlier, there's nothing more political than a drag queen.
Listen, yes, Pete, listen, absolutely, because they cannot ignore a 7-foot man in a giant wig, honey. Listen, whenever you need me, truly, I will be there with a megaphone and I will help you out as much as I can. I'm so honored and grateful to talk to you today. Congratulations on everything. You're just someone that you're the true hero that we need to be looking up to in our LGBTQ plus community, because you are making things happen right now. And I appreciate you so much. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Big thanks to Brian Sims. Follow. And we'll make sure that everyone go give money, because I'm going to give money too. Huge thank you to Representative Brian Sims, everyone at World of Wonder, and Drag Out the Vote. I end this episode to let everyone know that we need to look out for each other. If you see something unjust happening, baby, step in. Black lives matter. Black trans lives matter. Stop AAPI hate. And lastly, make sure you make your voices heard, because, honey, it does matter. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the You Brita Vote podcast on your favorite podcast platform, and listen to all of the podcasts that are a part of the WOW Podcast Network. Till next time, remember, I'm a vote, so you Brita Vote. See you next time. Bye. You Brita Vote. Now vote. Vote. Now pose. Now serve it at the polls. Work. Serve. Vote at the polls. Girl, you finished with your ballot? Come on, sis. Let's turn these in. Wait, where's my sticker? I got a free pin, though. You Brita Vote.